This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Hello and welcome to episode 57 of Cooking with Grief, the soothing balm to the angry burn of modern life. I'm Chris, your organic British host, and joining me, as ever, is my side dish. The bangers to my mash, the flaming hot dust to my monster munch, the squeak to my bubble. It's Chris.
Hello. Those are things. Those are all things that exist.
Yeah. Complimentary things.
Complimentary things.
How are you? It's a while since it's been just the two of us, but it's also been a while since we actually recorded anything for a number of reasons.
Yeah, well, it's just been it's been a crazy few weeks, but it hasn't for me. I've been fine. You've had quite a dramatic few weeks. Say dramatic, mildly annoying. In the sounds of
I mean the news of Prince Philip really hit me hard, and it's taken a while to bounce back. You know, he had so much more to give, and it should have been me.
The thing with that, I don't know why I'm putting this into context. I think everyone knows Prince Philip's dead. this thing is spoilers. So do you know how when he died, they immediately cancelled, BBC cancelled all TV and went straight to, sappy montages of him for, almost 24 hours.
We had to put classical music on in the store.
Oh, really?
We weren't allowed pop songs because someone might think we were being too cheerful.
Yeah, well, apparently all the radio stations, even commercial ones, so they now, because obviously everything is commercially driven and targeted to specific market segments, and the idea of a DJ at a radio station actually choosing songs is laughable. Apparently they have different playlists for different they curate the playlist based on obviously what's in the charts and stuff like that, but also the national mood. So they've all switched to the sad playlists because they didn't want to make sure there's no upbeat jolly songs. It just seems a bit OTT. But anyway, the BBC went OTT compared to the rest of the world going OTT, or the rest of Britain, and it became the most complained about thing in TV history.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It is sad because someone has died, but he was also 99 and had been ill for a long time. Yeah. And I don't know if that just necessarily justified what essentially 72 hours of the same sort of looped package.
I think what really got people is the fact that, so there's, just for people, non-British listeners, you've got on TV, you've got BBC One, BBC Two, and BBC Four, because BBC Three got moved online. And what they did was they changed the programming all through Friday night into Saturday, about Saturday lunchtime, I think, to BBC One was playing non-stop coverage of Prince Philip and a look back on his life.
Coverage makes it sound like there was a chance he could get
better. That's true. That's the thing. There wasn't even that. It was literally just people saying, this is sad. He had a long and impactful life for 18 hours. And then BBC Two was playing the exact same thing, and BBC Four had a black screen telling people to tune into BBC One. And they'd cancelled everything that was planned, and that's what really got... But, if just BBC One had cleared the schedule out and did this, fair enough. But did you really need to have it on two channels simultaneously just to make sure there was no chance of anybody
experiencing an emotion other than grief?
Oh, I might want to enjoy my Friday evening. The BBC says no. I was thinking it's a good job he died on a Friday and not a Sunday, because if they'd cancelled Line of Duty, I think there would have been riots in the street.
I thought you were going to say football. What is...
Line of Duty.
I've probably not got time.
I don't know. It's only the biggest show in BBC history. It's a massive crime drama that people go absolutely mad. It's the most watched thing in BBC. It's event television. Anyway, doesn't matter.
I've been...
We're not here to talk about Line of Duty.
No, thank Christ, because I've never heard of it. What we are here to do is the following. Here's how the podcast works. It's two Chris's, two topics each, 4 stories about art, science, and history to amaze and astound. 1 bullet-pointed intro. 1 rambling outro and intro by the sounds of it now. 1 lackluster theme song and a secret message hidden somewhere in the episode. So without any further waffle, Chris, why don't you fill our ears with your first juicy story?
Okay, so for my first topic, we're going to keep it light and cheery. And I'm going to ask you a question now that if you answer differently to how I'm expecting, I may have just revealed that I'm weird, so I'm hoping you say what I think you're going to say. But are you ever like, have you ever stood on a ledge? Not on a ledge, you know, like say you're like on a balcony or something and looked over the edge, and then for like a split second, you're like, oh, I wonder what would happen if I jumped off. Or, you know, if there's like, if there's cars crossing the road and you just have like a thought and you're like, I could just step in front of this, but no, I won't. Like, not a suicidal thought, not a depressed, it's time to end it, but just that split second thing where you go, what if I did this incredibly dangerous thing?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. Yeah, I think everyone does. I think,
yes.
Isn't there a the call of the void?
Yes, exactly.
That l'appel du... Oh, yeah.
No, go on, what's the French?
L'appel du...
Void.
What?
Void.
Void.
The call of the void.
The call of the non-existence.
Yeah,
I'm not great with heights, but I think because like it's weird. It's like, say if I'm on a very high balcony that's like the same height as say like, I don't know, that I could like rest my arms on.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that like I will just topple over, despite the fact I'm not exactly athletic enough to vault over a balcony.
Yeah, I have a weird thing with low balconies that are like waist high. I'm always like, I don't know why, I have always this weird fear that I'll walk into it and then topple over.
Wind will knock you over, yeah.
I'll topple over. I don't know why.
Yeah. But if it's like a fully encased thing, like if it's glass or whatever, absolutely zero fear whatsoever.
Oh, that's good. Back to the feeling of like wanting to jump. Scientists decided to look into it, basically.
Oh, that's good of them.
Yeah. A team from Florida State University. I mean, I say they've decided to look into this. It's happened in 2012. Like, this isn't new, but it's new to me and hopefully everyone else. Apparently, they actually realised they were talking and, you know, everyone agreed that they've had this call of the void. And then they had a look in the literature and weirdly, apparently there was no... like, there hadn't actually been any studies on it, even though, like you say, it's got a name, Call of the Void, and, like, everyone has it. But nobody's really looked into why. So, a team from Florida State decided to explore and research this, and they decided to do a study. So what they did was, so they surveyed people and asked them whether or not they'd ever had the urge to jump from high places or whatever. But they also assessed the levels of depression to sort of, obviously, like, people who are depressed were more likely to have these urges, and that's, like, a slightly different thing. And they also measured, and it's called sensitivity to anxiety, which means that when something makes you anxious, you have, like, a physiological response. So, you know, your palms get sweaty and your heart beats faster and all that. Mm-hmm. So they're basically measuring, you know, when you are made anxious, how physically that manifests itself. So a third of the people they asked said they felt the urge to jump from these things. Obviously, it turns out that like people who were suicidal had these urges more. And like I say, that's a slightly different thing, because that's just, I say just depression, but you know what I mean? Like,
it's almost like a logical reason for it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's sort of more of a...
Or at least a cause and effect.
Yeah, exactly. Rather than one of these impulses where you do it and then... suddenly, like, no, obviously.
Yeah.
But what they did find was basically they found that people who had a higher anxiety response were more likely to have this urge. You know, people who were more likely to get the sweaty palms and all that. So what they theorize, whatever, from the data, is that actually what it is it's not you wanting to jump. It's actually you. Have a look at, you're standing on the balcony, you see the big drop. Your survival instinct kicks in and you have this, you know, anxious reaction, and it makes you like step away from the ledge or whatever. It's like I say, sweaty palms, heavy breathing, you know, all that kicks in split second. And then when you actually look at it, your brain goes, well, obviously it's safe. Like, that was stupid. Why are you having this thought? And so it's actually the other way around. Your brain is saying, stand away from there, it's dangerous. But then because the rest of your brain catches up and then goes, no, it's not dangerous. You just think that you wanted to jump when actually you were having an over-the-top phobia.
Like monkey brain goes like, ah, that might be a threat. And then, then like modern brain goes, all right, we've looked at it. It's actually pretty fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Relax, monkey brain.
Exactly. Because you don't know what your monkey brain's just done. You sort of like go... I was wanting to jump when actually your brain was going, don't do that, even though you were never planning on doing that.
I like it.
Yeah.
I find it fitting that it was a team in Florida where every headline that starts Florida Man is then preceded by something incredibly stupid. So it's like, of all the places to find people who are giving into the call of the void, Florida's a pretty good place to indulge it. You know, Florida Man wrestles alligator for a tin of canned peaches. It's like, it's not so much the call of a void as a call to a void, I guess.
Yeah, there's actually a reason why Florida Man headlines are so prevalent, and whilst part of it probably is Floridians being mad, and you know, if you live in a place infested with alligators and hurricanes, I guess you have to be a bit out there. Apparently it's because in Florida they release... There's something to do with the privacy laws or whatever there, but basically mean that like all court documents are sort of available for public consumption.
Oh, all right. So it's like transparency in the press sort of thing.
Yeah. So compared to other places in America and the world or whatever, you're more likely, you know, you can find these weird stories just by searching, like going through this week's court archives, and you can see... Oh, hang on a second, the guy's been arrested for, you know, dressing as a clown and throwing alligators at people.
I mean, like our stereotypes, we're always incorporating alligators into it.
We don't know anything else about Florida. It's either that or Mickey Mouse, like, it's either Disney World or alligators. Or NASA. Rocket-powered Mickey Mouse alligators are just flying around everywhere.
See, I think of the sort of pop-punk ska band Less Than Jake.
Oh, well, I don't.
No, I admit I will be in the minority. Yeah, like to the extent where you can, there's like a daily, Florida Man article du jour. Yeah. Or like if you were born on this day, this is your
Florida Man.
You know, your Florida Man horoscope.
Yeah. Well, like I say it's just because. Well, when I say partly because it's just a lot easier to get the news. You know, stuff like in, say, California.
I mean, to be fair, it's also a lot easier to get meth.
Yeah. Bad too. But, you know, say, for example, in California, this is a guess, I don't know what California's laws are, but say, like, in California, court details would only be made public if there's, like, either a specific request, say, or if there's a...
threat to public safety. Threat,
yeah, exactly. It's in the public interest or whatever, whereas apparently in Florida, it's just they're all available. So there you go. Two facts for the price of one with this with this topic. And for that matter, this will be my final topic of the day.
I could, like, not make up for it, make down for it by doing a topic that includes zero facts.
Oh, we could do that too.
I mean, we've been practicing for long enough.
Hey. So I think with my two facts, one and a half facts, over to you for your first topic.
Okay, so for my first topic, I'll start off with a question, as I often do, and you previously did. Chris, where would you least like to live on Earth?
It's a close one. It's got to either be Antarctica or Hull.
What have you got against Hull? Why is it the worst?
Everybody I've met from Hull has been... So no offence to any people from Hull who are listening, but everybody who I've met from Hull... has been really miserable, and I just keep thinking, well, how bad must Hull be that all of you who I've tried, you've talked to, because
they're the ones
doing
that
some
left.
Work with people. No, this is people who were there.
All right,
and I was ringing them because I'd been doing something at work and it involved a company in Hull, and they were universally miserable and difficult to work with. And I was just thinking,
is that like determinism of like if you come from somewhere that rhymes with dull, then the dullness seeps in?
Maybe, it could be.
I mean, I take your point. I think of Hull, I think of the colour grey, and not like like a cool grey, just a very bland grey.
You know what, maybe I'm doing a disservice, or maybe these people were doing a disservice, but
yeah.
They've not made me want to visit Hull.
When lockdown lifts and we do our Cooking with Grief world tour, maybe we can either do an apology tour to Hull or and it can redeem itself.
Or we avoid it in time.
Or, yeah. yeah, much more likely like that. Well, but I'd like to pitch a contender against either Antarctica or Hull for one of the worst places to live. Because I want to talk about the Russian city of Norilsk. Hang on, let me try and get that right, because I've got to say it quite a lot.
Easy for you to say.
Norilsk.
Norilsk.
Yeah.
Norilsk.
N-O-R-I-L-S-K. Norilsk.
Maybe it's easy if you put on a bad Russian accent.
Norilsk. Norilsk. Yeah.
Norilsk. You're from KGB.
Quite camp, these. And also, if they're just announcing the KGB. Hello, we are KGB. Oh, shit.
Oh, they're going to send us back to Norilsk.
Well, like, it would be a bit of a punishment. So, let's see if you like the sound of this place. It was founded in 1935, and it is home to 175,000 people. It's the most northerly city inside the Arctic Circle, and it's the largest city ever built on permafrost. It's covered in snow for 2/3 of the year, and half the year receives no sunlight.
We built this city on rock and roll.
We built this city on permafrost. We regret our decision. Built this city on permafrost. It's cold. Yeah, snowstorms there can last for over 100 days straight, and it regularly reaches temperatures of minus 50 degrees Celsius in the winter.
Bit too cold, innit?
Yeah, it's nippy. The coldest place I've ever been was minus 42, and it was so cold, I could feel like the hairs inside my nose freeze, and I could...
Where was that?
That was Harbin in China, which is in the northeast, on the Russian border. It's dead cool, because it's where they've... I don't know if you've seen the ice sculpture festival, where they basically carve a city out of ice. I'll send you some pictures and you can stick them on Twitter. But yeah, it's dead nice, but God, it is brisk.
Cold.
Where's the coldest place you've ever been?
All right, so...
Hull.
So I think in terms of actually... in terms of actual temperature, somewhere in Sweden where it was, I think, minus 10-ish. It's just like Sean Connery saying tennis.
Minus tennis.
But I think, I guess partly just because obviously you know what you're getting at when you're there, so you dress appropriately and stuff. But weird, the coldest I've ever felt, weirdly, was Montreal. And it wasn't even that cold. But I think, because it was like, you know, it wasn't snowing or anything. It was just like, I think it was probably about November or thereabouts. So it wasn't even, you know, within like deepest winter and all that stuff yet. But there's just something about the wind that day or whatever. It's just got me to my bones, and I was just like, I hate this place. I never want to go back to Montreal. Montreal's on my whole list.
God, we're making enemies today. So it wasn't the time that we got sent home from a school day and you decided to walk back to mine in a sleeveless vest.
Oh, shorts and t-shirts, have you know, because it was my school PE kit, and it was because I didn't want to get my... I feel like it was because I didn't want to get my school uniform like soaked. So I was like, I'll just walk in shorts and t-shirts. It was a fine decision. Though the only regret about that decision, Chris, was we walked all the way back to yours because we thought the trams weren't working, so we couldn't get back to mine. And then I remembered once I got to yours that the trams were working because I got the tram into school that very day.
Yeah, and we trudged uphill like for an hour in the
all
snow.
All the way to yours.
Yeah.
And then I remembered that when I got to yours, I was like, hang on a second. I only managed to get to school that day because the trams were definitely working.
We all have our crosses to bear, and you know, ours are minor inconveniences compared to the good people of Norilsk.
Norilsk? What's the KGB?
Norilsk!
This is going to be the new Foghorn Leghorn. I say, we are KGB! I don't know why that
it sounds more
was.
Like a Russian accent trying to like blend in America. Like, hello, I like cartoon, like Foghorn Leghorn, like crazy chicken. It's just Borat at this point.
We're so good at accents.
Accent. Singular. so not only is it incredibly cold, but it's also incredibly polluted. It's responsible for 1% of the world's sulfur dioxide emissions.
Why? Or are you getting to that?
I'll get to that. And it suffers from year-round acid rain and smog.
Oh, God. Well, if it's that cold as well, I bet you not just get acid rain, you get acid hailstones.
There are no roads in or out, just an airport and a freight-only train. The trees don't grow there or in the surrounding areas. The city flag shows a mutated bear with three arms holding up a key.
I don't believe you. So, no, at this point, that's just from Fallout.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, I watched a documentary about it, and I'm like, what is this place?
This place, there's a radiated wasteland with a mutated bear on its flag. Yeah. I am telling you, it's not a real thing. It's just a colony from Fallout.
Hello, welcome to NCR.
That's it. This is just the NCR's Russian equivalent.
Yeah, it's a DLC map. Yeah. 350 square kilometers around the city have been contaminated with oil after an oil leak. But because there are no roads, there's no way to clean it up. So there's just a sea of discarded oil.
What is the point of this place?
Here's why.
Why do 170,000 people live in this hellhole in the middle of nowhere that you can't get to?
Because it's on top of the world's largest deposit of nickel and copper.
Oh.
So, like, pretty much everyone that lives there is there for work reasons. That's why there's so much pollution, because it's basically, it's just an industrial town where they just mine and smelt nickel and copper.
It sounds horrific.
Better or worse than Hull?
I'd say worse than Hull.
Wow.
Well, Hull famously has a bridge, which means you can enter and leave at your, like, leisure.
Oh, I thought you were going to say peril.
Well, that too. I mean, it is the European, or was the European capital culture. No, not European. UK capital culture.
Mm.
One or the other. So it can't be all that bad.
Yeah, that or the award was given out ironically definitely, this year.
Well, I was going to say, it's definitely must have like more going for it than the people of Murilsk.
Yep, that's true.
See, if I rang somebody from Murilsk and they were all miserable, I'd accept it, because I'd be like, you know what, mate? I would be too.
Yeah, it's dark frozen and you're getting mauled by mutated bears.
Yeah, if you put the mutated three-armed bear on your flag, that means that is the best thing about the city.
That's what they're most
the
proud
only
of.
Positive, yeah, the only positive thing they could think about Murilsk was the mutated apex predators.
I mean, wouldn't you be proud of that?
To be fair, yeah.
You know, it becomes national headlines when a dog mauls a seal in this country. Imagine if someone gets mauled by a three-armed bear. I shall hand it over to you for your second topic.
Okay, so for my second topic, this is one of those awkward things because you have no pop culture frames of reference, as we've already discovered with the Line of Duty fiasco.
No idea.
But this one is a little bit bigger than Line of Duty. I don't know how well that show's travelled internationally. But one thing that definitely has is the Marvel Universe and Iron Man. So if I say Iron Man, please tell me you have some sort of vague frame of reference to what that means.
Yeah, I've seen parts of Iron Man 3.
Oh, excellent. Hopefully the bit where he was in the suit, the Iron Man suit, because that's the bit I'm going to be talking about, the whole metal armor thing.
I'm aware
otherwise
of
otherwise it's
Man
just
suit.
Man. Like, if you just if you just seen the bits where it's just Robert Downey Jr. just in his, like, jeans and a t-shirt.
Doing the ironing.
Yeah. So I'm sure all our listeners are slightly more clued up on pop culture, and if I say Iron Man, you all know what I'm talking about. You know, in literally this month, it's been, well, I'll say announced, whatever, but it's been going on for years, the sort of research behind it. Iron Man suits could soon become a reality. A much more boring and less exciting reality, but life imitating art nonetheless. So there's a company in America called Suit X, because as with all things, if you want to make it sound futuristic, you gotta call it X. SpaceX, yeah. Suit X.
Lil Nas.
I was gonna say Tip X.
Lil
Nas X. I mean, that was an excellent reference. So this company is trying to make affordable Iron Man suits. Well, they call them Iron Man suits. They are nowhere near as exciting because they aren't armoured and they don't fly. Basically, it's just a metal exoskeleton that can help you lift a bit more than you currently can. But that obviously,
I'm interested.
Yeah, well, the idea, you'd be perfect for this because, obviously, I mentioned before, you work in the supermarket. They're hoping the market for this is going to be, you know, like warehouse workers, construction workers, you know, stuff where people have to pick things up and put them down, you know, like stacking shelves and stuff, and to try and like, this is what I mean, much less exciting thing. They're trying to avoid back problems in effectively underpaid labourers.
So solving the problem of like, are we allowed to sit down at work? No, it looks unprofessional. Okay, can I get a mechanised exoskeleton to help with my back pain? Absolutely.
Yeah, well, this
you
is...
just can't have a chair.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. So rather than, you know, better brakes, better things, the thing that they're, you know, they're really happy about is they've shown that muscle activity in the back, shoulder and knees dropped by 50%, which means less muscle injuries. This means factory or plant managers get more productivity.
Woohoo!
And their insurance costs are lower and there are less workdays lost to injury. So, you know, yes, literally, that's somebody's invented this amazing piece of technology that it's almost like power armor or whatever, so it magnifies your force. You know, you move your arm and it magnifies that force, which is the thing they've got to avoid. You know, it's like, I think it's RoboCop 2, where it shows all the attempts at making a robot, you know, a new robot, a new RoboCop, and, you know, the wearers basically get mangled because you move your arm and it magnifies the force and it just rips your arm off. It's why, like, in Halo and Warhammer and stuff, the super soldiers have to be super soldier just to be able to not get their arms ripped off by their own armor. But yeah, there's this amazing technology, and the only thing people are thinking with it is, we could marginally improve productivity at our work plants, and we can get away with less, we can hire less people. I was like, wow.
Yeah, if ever I've had a product that Amazon will be all over, mm-hmm. like, not to sell, but to, we could get, make them work for 24 hours instead of 20.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's actually General Motors and Fiat who are apparently... are currently trialing them and seeing, you know, seeing if they can help out, you know. So the guys working on the, you know, the car production line.
Is there going to be like a casual version for office workers?
Is that not just a chair?
Yeah. Yeah. Just a built-in chair. Maybe like with, you know, with a, I don't know, what a, I've never had an office job. I know, with like built-in water cooler moments.
Yeah, so a chair with a drinks dispenser.
Or just a cup holder. Yeah. I'm thinking of a cup holder.
There's also like different versions as well. So there's a company called Bioservo, Swedish, who have made, again, leading into this whole Iron Man thing, they've made something called Iron Hand, which is a glove. And there's an app that comes with it where you can adjust how... each finger, how much extra force you want. So if you want to be able to, like, crush walnuts with your hand, you can, you know, set everything to high.
Is there a velvet glove option for, like, concealed diplomacy?
But the thing that they're working on, really, like, so let's say, it looks way less exciting because there's no armor, is, but, I mean, I'm sure the US military, because this is the thing. I've seen some films, like, and some of them are quite good, where they have, like, or books, whatever, where they're, like, set in Britain, but they're stories, you know, where the US where the military have an experiment that's gone wrong or something, you know, like, robot assassin thing that's gone loose or whatever. But because it's set in Britain, and they're, like, the Ministry of Defence has spent all this, and you're, like, we don't have any money. Like, don't be daft. The British Army are not spending millions on killer robots. The British Army barely can afford to run, like, can barely afford the diesel it takes to move the tanks. Like, they're not.
Yeah, yeah.
So, let's be honest, in real life, it'll be the US military. They're no doubt making armoured versions of all this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. On a more serious, like, I know it's easy to, I don't know, make sort of lighthearted comparisons to, like, sci-fi and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In a civilian, like, surely people with disabilities, it would drastically improve their lives.
Yeah. Apparently, the Suit X people are also working on, like, a knee brace, robotic knee brace that'll take the strain off knees and stuff. So, yeah, imagine, like, you say, this could massively change, like, people's...
Do you see that thing about that wheelchair company that makes wheelchairs that have a sort of a standing mode as well?
The thing is with that, as I've... seen some stuff on Twitter where, like, it wasn't necessarily that one, but it was like a wheelchair that had these, like, three wheels that, so, like, it could go upstairs, you know, like, sort of three wheels sort of with a central axis in between, so they could sort of pull itself upstairs. And all the comments from, like, disabled people on Twitter was just build a ramp. Like, it's like, we just want a ramp. Like, make faces wheelchair accessible. And people are like, how about we sell you a $25,000 wheelchair that can go upstairs? And they're just like, please just give us a ramp. It costs like $100 to install.
Yeah, give us a plank of wood at the bare minimum.
Yeah, yeah. So sometimes, like, these things, they can't.
Yeah, it's overcomplicated. Yeah.
But, like I say, you are right, though. Like, this could be a big change for people like that. Because apparently, and this is from a quote from the founder of SuitX, who is, I'm really sorry for this because I'm probably going to butcher this, but Humayun Kazaruni, he says that their, like, end goal is that they become, because they cost about $45,000 now, I think, at the moment, but they're hoping that with economies of scale, they get to the point where, you know, they're in the, you know, with the power tool section in, like, DIY shops. Like he said, so this is a quote, he says, hopefully they'll be in Home Depot. As the prices come down, you'll be able to simply buy them at Home Depot.
Interesting that you picked two different pronunciations of depot.
I went depot when I was saying it, but then when I was doing the quote, I decided to pronounce it as a Californian might. Home Depot. I wanted the authenticity. We strive for authenticity of this show.
Do we?
I don't know. Sometimes.
May I refer you back to the Russian accents from before?
Yes, the Home Depot.
Home Depot.
We live in a world where, you know, it's very conceivable that within the next few years, there will be people in exoskeletons.
If you could have one sort of cybernetic enhancement, what would you have?
So this is like when people say, what superpower do you want? And like my immediate thought is like super strength. And then I think, honestly, why? What would I do with that? You know, if I was like as strong as the Hulk, I'd be like, yeah, I could throw a car. I won't, because that's somebody's car. I'm never going to pick someone's car up and throw it. That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, the alarm would go off.
Yeah, so when you said that, my immediate thought was like robot legs. So I could, like, you know, like in Deus Ex, you know, drop down places and land gently and jump super high and all that. And I think, why? Where am I jumping? What am I doing with all this? I feel like something like Google Glass, but like better. Something where you could just look at things and like instantly search for it without having to think how to describe it. And yeah, you know, when you're trying to find a picture that you've seen and you want to share it, and you try to describe it in Google so you can find it. And you're like, it's the picture of the giraffe with the thing. And
it's a man crossed with a minotaur. Yeah. I just like that what you want, it would save you the time it takes to get your phone out of your pocket and Google it.
No,
on a
I'm
different
using it for like things where it's like a pain in the ass to try and work out how to describe it. You could just look at something and then like be like, oh, yeah, cool.
I'll also be handy at pub quizzes.
That too.
What would I have? I'd
robot beard.
What is the practical application of a robot beard?
Novelty.
What a waste. What? I'll have the novelty answer, please. Maybe like sort of bionic eyes that could like zoom in and take photos.
Oh, yeah.
Not in a creepy way. Just
the pervert update.
Oh yeah, see-through walls, see-through clothes,
a built-in CD player.
Yeah, a cassette player in my knee. I'm the sort of potential person like, oh no, if you want to get the best sound out of your knee, it's got to be vinyl. Oh, nice knee record player. Oh, thanks very much. I can't move or it skips. What a world.
Yeah.
What a brilliant world that we definitely live in.
Yep, exactly.
Hey, listeners, tweet at us. What possibly pointless cybernetic enhancement would you have?
Man, that's at Cooking With Grief with no G on cooking. I think it's time for you to finish the show off with your final topic.
So for my last topic, I thought I'd hark back to something we talked about a couple of episodes ago. On the Valentine's Day special, my topic was about the history of St. Valentine. And during that topic, we discussed some of the miracles that saints have to pull off to become saints in the first place. I think you mentioned Saint Swithin, who
dropped some eggs.
And then, yeah, and it didn't break. Anyone could drop eggs.
But I feel like even dropping eggs and them not breaking, like, it's not a guarantee.
Yeah,
it's, I'm just not unimpressed with Saints with them.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely fine. There's definitely some better miracles out there. I mentioned St. Porter the Bearded, who grew a massive beard overnight to escape the unwanted advances of a lover. I like that topic, and I've been reading a lot more about Saints since, and I've invented a game, because we all love a game, called Saint or Ain't.
Nice.
I'll give you some different saints and the thing of which they are the patron saint of. I messed up the grammar there, of which they are the patron saint, and you tell me if it's a saint or it ain't a saint. Okay, so number one, Saint Giles, who is the patron saint of breastfeeding.
Saint Giles, which sounds like a man, being the patron saint of breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Which seems incredibly wrong and definitely wouldn't make any sense, which means I reckon the Catholic Church is all over it. I'm going to say saint.
Absolutely true. He was a hermit who lived in the south of France in the 7th century, and his miracle was surviving only on the milk of a female deer.
Right, that's very random.
And, you know, you come across a guy suckling on a deer in a cave, and you go, that, my friend, is saint material. Today's pervert is history's saint.
Well, that's us never getting invited to the Vatican. It was a long shot anyway. Like, I don't feel like we're missing out. Like, I don't feel like we were on the cusp of a papal audience. Yes,
the Pope was there with his headphones with a pro and con tally throughout all the episodes. Sorry, lads. You messed it up at the final hurdle. Number two, Saint Bernadette, the patron saint of shapely bottoms.
That doesn't seem like a thing that should be sainted. But I feel like Bernadette would have a badonkadonk. So, I'm torn. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say ain't.
Correct. It is false. It's actually Saint Kardashian. Number three, Saint Lidwina, the patron saint of ice skaters.
Oh, yeah, I'd say that's a saint. Why not? Everything's got a saint. Ice skaters need a saint.
Yeah, it's true. Now... this is a weird quote-unquote miracle, right? So she was injured while ice skating and never recovered. I don't know what the miracle is there, but she...
Is that a miracle?
Right, but
just unfortunate.
Following a life of piety, her grave became a site for pilgrims. Okay, so you hurt your leg and then died. Well done. Number four, Saint Rigobert, the patron saint of geese.
I mean, I enjoyed the accent on the name, but I'm going to go with ain't.
No, he was a saint.
Oh, he's real.
He was an archbishop who was given a goose for dinner, alive, and decided to keep it as a pet instead of killing it, and the goose followed him everywhere he went, even to mass, and would lie down on the altar, which is fun.
Oh, that sounds like quite a heartwarming story.
Yeah, but not a miracle.
No, it's just one man and his goose.
That's the podcast this could have been. If I'd been born a goose.
Goose.
And you could
Chris,
edit.
Over to you for your second topic. Honk!
I like bread. Bread.
Well said as ever.
Number five, Saint Polycarp, the patron saint against earaches.
Polycarp. Saint lots of fish. What do you even say they were the saint of?
The patron saint against earaches. And this is a saint that sounds most like a Pokemon.
I mean, that's oddly specific, so I'm going to go with saint.
Oh, I thought I'd get you with that one. I thought there's no way you'd buy Polycarp as a name. Yeah, it's absolutely true. He was a leader and a healer and burned alive at the stake and survived.
That is impressive.
That's a genuinely good miracle. So it's a bit of a leap to why he'd get patron against earaches is because he was a healer, then he'd often be working in places where there was, like, I think he's also the patron saint against dysteria. Is that a dysentery?
Dysentery.
Yeah,
that's a good one to have.
Yeah.
I mean, having a patron saint against it, not having yeah. dysentery, isn't a good thing. Yeah, to have.
No one's pro dysentery. Number six, Saint Bono, patron saint against diseased cattle. And funky U2 riffs.
I was going to say, there's a U2 joke in there somewhere. Yeah, I'm going to say saint again.
God, you're doing well. I was trying to throw you off with a name. I thought, yeah, he was a Welsh saint of the 7th century. And get this for an absolute award-winning miracle. His miracle is he's credited with raising 7 people from the dead.
That's like 6 more than Jesus did.
Yeah, like that's how is this guy not like top tier saint?
Yeah. That is, well, maybe he was too good. You know, like when somebody's too good at work and they show the boss up, so they sort of get kicked to the side. I mean, when you're doing better than Jesus at raising people from the dead, like, you put a few noses out of joint.
Are you claiming that God picked Jesus out of nepotism?
No.
Okay, good, because that's one for the precon tally on the Pope. Number 8, St. Gregory, the patron saint of sausage rolls and baked goods.
That's got to be a no, because that is a stealth. There will 100% be a St. Gregory, but that was a stealthy joke about our beloved bakery franchise, Greg's.
You're correct. Well identified the joke about what I consider to be my own personal church. You're absolutely right. The real St. Gregory, or Pope Gregory the First, is the patron saint of musicians, singers, students, and teachers. It's almost like you set me up perfectly with this explanation. But the closest I could find to the actual patron saint of what would be baked goods would be Santa himself, St. Nicholas, who is the patron saint of baking, and also pawnbrokers and Greece, weirdly.
Greece
the country.
Oh, I thought you meant like...
Tell me more, like tell oils. Me more. Oh, there's a third.
Or that. The patron saint of musicals.
Yeah, but like, so Santa, like, gets... He's got some good ones. So, like, he's...
Everything.
This is number 9. Saint Blaise. Patron saint against choking.
Blaze. I mean, that sounds...
It's one of those American names like Chad or Brad or Brick or Thud. One of those monosyllabic names that just hits you in the face. Maybe not Thud.
Saint Blaise. What did you say he was?
He's the patron saint against choking.
Against choking. Oh, saint.
Oh, I don't think he got one wrong.
Was a guess. That was a guess. That was a...
Yeah, no, he's a real saint. He had 2 miracles. One was rescuing a child from choking on a fishbone. Hence, like, again, not really a saint. Not really a miracle.
But
this is, like, my favourite quote-unquote miracle. His other one is he convinced a wolf to return a pig. Like, if that's not the most, like, fairy tale... Bullshit.
Yeah. How? Did you reason with it?
I don't know. I could not find any information.
I mean, that sort of implies that the wolf took the pig alive. I didn't think wolves were known for hostage taking. I thought they tended to just go straight in with the, you know, with the killing.
No. First they huff and then they puff.
And then they take hostages.
And then they demand $10,000 in unmarked bills.
Yeah. And only when their demands are not met do they start killing.
Start wasting pigs. But yeah, so St. Blaise was clearly like a hostage negotiator with a megaphone.
Just imagining some saint stood outside like the brick house at the end of the Three Pigs story. Like Die Hard. I was like... Hans Gruber wolf negotiating.
No, you don't have to do that now. And finalement, number 10, Saint Pantalon, the patron saint of pants.
I'm going to go with 8. There was nobody called Saint Pantalon.
You would think. And yet, it is absolutely... Well, it's sort of true. So, his name is where we get pants or pantaloons. He was actually the patron saint of physicians, lotteries, livestock, all sort of things. But, and here's, like, arguably the most interesting fact I have for this topic. Right, okay, so, Saint Pantalon was dead popular in Venice, right? And therefore, he gave his name to a character in the Commedia dell'arte, you know, like the sort of comedy theatre troupe thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the character was called Pantalone and became the stereotype of Venetians and featured in, like, Shakespeare's Merchant of Venice, like, described as the lean and slippered pantaloon. So the character was always shown wearing trousers rather than like knee-high breeches at the time, as being a sort of Venetian dandy. So they became known as pantaloons, and then got shortened to pants that we know and love today. So he sort of is the patron saint of pants.
Saint of pants. He's who we have to thank for pants.
Yeah, so that concludes. I think, like, regular listeners will know that I do these sort of true or false quizzes every, I know, few episodes or whatever. Like, I don't think I've ever been so, like, completely destroyed in that. Normally, like, with placed on a show, not a place, it's like, you know, maybe like 6-4 in Chris's favour. You got every single one right, I think, apart from the last one.
Yeah, I know my saints, apparently.
And you know your ain't.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. That was good.
Thank you. I shall now do an outro. And that brings us limping, bruised, and possibly weeping to the end of yet another installment of Cooking with Grief. We'll be back next time with 4 brand new topics, stories, anecdotes, and whatever else. So thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to help support the show, you can leave a review in iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Cooking with Grief. With no G on cooking, and don't forget to let us know what cybernetic enhancements you'd have. Or you can email us at cookingwithgrief@gmail.com with the G firmly on cooking. Yeah, so that's it for another donut. I hope you're all well. Hope you're staying safe. And I think that's everything.
Yeah, that's all the pleasantries out of the way. You can also find us on YouTube, because that's up and running again after a long hiatus, just in case you want to listen to this with picture form, with a blank picture at the background. Although we also are doing Cooking with Grief Quick Bites, which are little 10-minute individual topics wrapped up for your enjoyment. Although, saying that, I feel like we're preaching to the choir. I don't know who's listening to this who would then be like, oh, I better go listen to this in another format. But share it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing. But if there's a topic you particularly like that, you know, if you don't want to recommend a whole episode to someone, but you're like, oh, the time they talked about, you know, whatever, then, like, that could be a really good way.
There's a chance we've done it as a 10-minute topic on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. So like, yeah, it could be if you want. Because honestly, the quickest way is, you know, to for us to grow is through the word of mouth. So if there's someone you've got in mind who would enjoy a particular topic, why don't you let them know?
Yeah. Throw these facts down their ears, whether they want to hear them or not. That's weird.
No,
aggressive.
Do get consent first. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's turn it back a bit. We want all our listeners to be doing so consensually.
Yes. We will not verbally waterboard people with our podcast.
Unless that is what they're into. This has taken a weird turn. Anyway. Thank you much for listening. Yeah.
Goodbye.
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 Goodbye. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's how we end it. Yeah,
yeah, that's a common ending in English, in the English language. Goodbye. Farewell.
Yeah, all good options.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Yeah, not English, but, you know. Yeah. See you again if you want the translation. End it! The episode, I mean, not like...
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't a cry for help.
Not the call. Although, the void. Call back.
No.
Okay.
No, that's...
Just tail off.
Hi, I'm Eric.
And I'm Aisla.
And together we are the hosts of the Bicurian Podcast.
Bicurian is our answer to the polarizing culture we live in.
Tired of feeling under siege and looking for ways to get involved? Then come be a part of a different way of thinking.
Everything from politics to geek culture to current events that polarize us as a society, we explore multiple ways of looking at things. Please check us out at Bicurian.com and follow us on your favorite social media platform of choice.